It's the True Faith Podcast. I'm Alex Hurst, joined today by Tom from Wohem on the phone and Andy Bolland, who's next to me in South Gosforth in his flat. Good to be speaking to you all. We are speaking to you ahead of Newcastle United's fixture against Wigan this weekend. Two massive games coming up this week, Wigan and Burton. Two terrible, terrible sides, as the league table suggests, that we're going to have to put to the sword. So we'll talk through that and a few other things, and then we'll have John on from Wigan Cosmos later on in the show at the end, and he'll give us the Wigan perspective. So, Bolland, I'll start with you. This is it, isn't it? Eight games to go. No breaks. Just football from now until, what, May 7th? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Neither?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm a little bit nervous as well, because I think we discussed on the last podcast if anyone's capable of blowing this now. It's Newcastle United. However, I think if we get two wins from these very, very winnable games, and we should win them, although having said that, two teams in the bottom half of the Championship at home, that sounds like a recipe for disaster for us. And we can get maybe Huddersfield to slip up over the next two games. That'd be ideal for us. And you'd think at that point that it should be plain sailing for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, Newcastle are one. I looked on Betfair today, Newcastle are 1-50 to be promoted. So, I mean, it's, and I think some bookies have paid out as well. I'm not sure. That might just be social media myth. But 1-50, it's like they're begging you not to put money on it. There is no football match that ever gets those short odds. So, I mean, it's looking pretty likely. Tom, are you with Bolland on this one? Like, do you think it's really important this next week here, or do you think it's kind of a done deal regardless of what happens in these two fixtures?
I wouldn't say it's a done deal regardless, but I'm not worried about it. Huddersfield have got a they've got to pretty much win every game unless we absolutely collapse. So, yeah. I'm not worried about it, but I think. Wigan, I think Wigan and Burton might be the hardest test, and I'll put that down to the fact it's home, and they're fighting relegation, so they could just come out, all guns blazing, nothing to lose, sort of thing. More pressure on us, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that Newcastle, Brighton, and Huddersfield, between now and Wednesday, have all got home games. So Brighton have got Blackburn and Birmingham at home. Huddersfield have got Burton, who we play on Wednesday, and then Norwich at home. So like, it's very much like anyone's got to be thinking any slipper will be punished. It's not like last weekend when Brighton were, or not, or the weekend before, Brighton were able to lose to Leeds because Huddersfield had been beaten, and we were able to get a draw at Birmingham, and it was all right because we actually ended the weekend further away from the promotion rivals that we thought we would have done. Tom, you mentioned that these games are difficult because they're at home. Are you as worried as I am that if we're going to go 1-0 up inside 20 minutes, we might just have the same old story from St James's Park? Or do you think people are going to think, right, we may as well get behind the lads, five home games left?
No. if people are going to go absolutely ballistic because we go 1-0 down to Fulham, who, sitting, seventh at the minute or something.
Yeah.
You'd expect a tougher game from Fulham than you would Wigan. I think if people go, batshit crazy over that, they'll get right on the players' backs if we go 1-0 down against Wigan. And that's the thing we kind of do. We kind of get sort of 20 minutes in, or we're not 1-0 up. If Paul Dummett doesn't hire an amazing cross in, I'm going to get on his back. It's the home atmosphere I'm worried about, and I'm pretty sure the opposition managers will be picking up on, if they've got anything to say, if they've got anything positive to sort of look at to play in with, it's that they're playing us at our place. So I think they can easily turn against her quite quickly.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, what's interesting is Rafa Benitez, last week now, he did the Q&A with the Chronicle, is literally like begging the home support to stay on side. It's so clear what he's saying. It's so obvious what when his comments like, we need to stay together. We need to be united. Together we can achieve great things. And like, everyone's on social media lapping it up. And it's great to hear him. And he spoke really well. And it's really positive, the news this week, according to Craig Hope, friend of the show, that that Rafa's future is looking more secure. So I'm happy about that. But he's like begging the support. And everyone's like, you know, making their memes and photographs with pictures. And then like, as you say, like Jack Caldwell passes the ball behind John Joe Shelby and everyone's going tits again. So it's kind of like his words fall on deaf ears, which is a little bit disappointing because, like you say, I mean, 1-50 to be promoted. I don't know why people can't just get, you know, think, right, we'll put up with whatever we've got to put up with these last 8 games. Let's get in the Premier League.
I think that's down from what he's coming from, though. He's coming from Inter and Napoli. You know, I don't count Real Madrid because, you know, they high rocks at players' cars if they lose. So, but Inter and Napoli, you know, like fanatical home support. You know, and he's coming to, you know, he's coming to St James's Park. Like you say, if Jack Colback plays a backwards ball, ballistic. You know.
Yeah.
So he's begging for good support, but in a more sort of, what's the word? Appropriate way through the papers.
Yeah, he's not coming out and saying it explicitly, is he? But he's trying to get the message across as clear as he can. Subtle, yeah. Good word, Bolland. You know, we've talked a little about Newcastle's home form. When you said in the podcast this week you'd like to see it improve. You know, 6 points against these two, would you take two scrappy 93rd minute winners in each? Or do you think, no, this is we're top of the league, we need to stop playing like it at home?
Well, no, this is business end of the season, isn't it? Like, I think for the most part of the season, I think we would have all enjoyed to see Newcastle play a lot better at home than they have done. But 5 home games left, if we win all 5 of those games 1-0 and they're all own goals in the 95th minute, I don't think anyone's going to care, are they? The only thing that matters now is we get promoted. Obviously, I'd like to see us win 4 and 5-0 against these two teams, but 1-0 would make me very happy.
Yeah, I'm the same, obviously. What's interesting, I think today's game, because there's so few Wigan fans coming, this is the game that there'll probably be more, maybe Fulham as well, where there'll be more Newcastle fans in the ground, because there'll be 52,000 there, it'll sell out, and then there's so few away fans, there's going to be more Newcastle fans there than ever any other game, you know, so let's hope that kind of transmits and think, you know, the players kind of feel a little bit more comfortable playing at home. I know some people would point to the tactics and stuff like that and say, that's our home problems. What I'm looking for from these two games is like just no mistakes. If we play like, I would say not mediocre, but if we just put in a competent performance and don't make any catastrophic defensive errors, we'll be all right. Look at the defeats this season: Huddersfield and Bemba, even though it was a foul. That's a catastrophic error. He should have been stronger. Loses the ball in the score. Wolves, Mbemba, own goal. Catastrophic again. People wonder why I didn't play. Catastrophic error, own goal against Wolves. Then you've got Blackburn, which was I'm going to put that to the side one bit because it was at the start of a mental week and you rotated heavily for it. You know, then you had Bristol City, one shocking Morgan and then Ball, Dummett and Darlow, catastrophic error. So it's, I don't know, it's a little bit like if we're just competent and don't gift the opposition goals, like Fulham, catastrophic error for the second goal, Dummett, you know, when he's got kick it anywhere, Paul, kick it out for throwing, goal kick it over the crossbar, kick it, you know, anywhere, just don't kick it at their player on the edge of the 18-yard box unmarked. That's what I want to see. I just want to see where not make any mistakes. I don't, you know, let's not rush into things because the temptation will be there with an impatient home support for them to, as you know, Bolland, we were there last week and everyone was, you know, the blokes behind us were screaming, move it quicker, despite the ball being moved perfectly quickly. And as soon as someone moves it more quickly and kicks it out of play, they're going fucking nuts anyway. So, like, I just want to see, listen, competent performances will beat both of these sides. I'm not going to give them any respect. I have no problem with either club. I really enjoyed my visits to both Wigan and Burton this season, mostly because we've got 6 points. But, you know, it was good days. It was a good night at Wigan and a good day at Burton. Can't believe, Bolland, what's that, 4 months ago? 3-4 months ago? time flies.
Yeah.
But you know, they are really bad teams, both of them. They both have horrific away records. You know, Wigan have lost 19 games this season, so let's just do it. I say six points, no fuck-ups. Let's go to Chef Wed on telly, 5:30, bouncing, great atmosphere, on 84 points. And you know what? If we're on 84 points with six games to go, we can afford a cock-up. Not that I think we'll win the game, because we're much better than Chef Wed. But so it's just, I just think it's a great opportunity for the players to just be like, right, business time, no bad refs, no dodgy penalties given away, Gouffran, no like bad sitters missed, no unbelievable goalkeepers, just 6 points. I don't care how they come, 6 points, that's all I'm after. And then we can really look ahead to the rest of the season. We pick up 6 points from these two games, I think the whole fan base will lift, and like that kind of like weight of expectation, which to be fair I might be wrong, because I thought that would happen at the Fulham game. I thought everyone would be a bit more comfortable with stuff, but it didn't happen. But I think, with, you know, I really want to go to that Leeds game on the Good Friday, Tom.
Aye.
Like, with like, this is a bonus. Let's beat these. Let's just absolutely hammer these. I don't know if you agree.
Yeah. Especially nervousness coming down to that. It's not what you want. So you do want to be comfortable going into that game.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll bring good away support.
The gate. They'll bring 3,200, and the game's completely sold out. It's sold out in 40 minutes.
Aye.
So, and it's kind of the, you know, there's no other football on that night. It's Good Friday, so once again we'll be kind of, it's one of those games like Leeds away and like Brighton away, where we're in front of the nation. Those two fixtures got like higher viewing figures than a lot of Premier League games get. So yeah. So it'd be nice to go into those. I fancy a good few drinks on Good Friday without having to worry about like some, you know, small town in Yorkshire, Huddersfield. you know, Bolland, do you think that maybe, I mean, Huddersfield's performance at Bristol Rovers was really, really bad. Not Bristol Rovers, Bristol City always do that. I'm sure that'll drive Bristol City fans nuts if any of them listens. Do you think that maybe we've seen the last of these now, we've seen them off?
Who?
Huddersfield. Because that pressure was on them to play first on the telly, and they couldn't have failed at any worse. Like, now we're at this part of the season, they've got to win every, for the first time in the season, Huddersfield have got to win, and they failed the first test.
It's too soon to rule them out of it, isn't it? I mean, you are very blasé about the fact that they still have a game in hand, but they do still have a game in hand, which is
the second last game of the season, and will already be promoted, but go on.
Not necessarily. You could narrow that gap down to 4 points.
Five with goal difference.
So it's too early. And this Huddersfield team that up until that point had won something like 7 or 8 on the bounce, 9, 10, a lot of games on the bounce. Like, they have proven that they are capable of putting runs together. So, no, it's far too early to be saying they're out of it.
I mean, everyone has their runs, though. Like, we've had well runs this season. I think now we've gone 3 without a win. Because obviously Reading 0-0, we should have won. Fulham, we definitely shouldn't have won. And Birmingham, we should have won. I'm trying to think, there was another league's like spell this season where we went 3 without a win, I'm not sure. But anyway, I'm much more comfortable with, you know, with our position than Huddersfield's. And as Tom said at the start of the show, you're pretty much asking Huddersfield before, well, maybe not before, but definitely to win 3 more games than us between now and the end of the season. That's a big ask. With you, look, you think of the Championship, you think teams consistently draw games, teams lose games they shouldn't. Like, I think Blackburn's a hard game for Brighton Saturday, because I'd rather be playing the likes of Norwich at home, which Huddersfield have got, who've got literally not, I mean, Norwich is probably a bad example because they've just sacked their manager, but you know, teams who've got literally nothing to play for. Whereas your Blackburns and Wigan, I mean, Wigan will come on to, but Burtons of this world have got loads to play for, so they're going to give it everything. Where some lad who's either out of contract at the end of the season playing for Preston, for example, although Preston, I think, are talking about playoffs, isn't possibly going to give you as much, even though St James's Park is a big draw for a lot of players, and as on your castle.
You managed to go through most of the teams in the Championship there, say they have nothing to play for, then realise that they do have something to play for. I've got one for you, Aston Villa.
Yeah, Aston Villa got fuck all to play for, ever. Tom, team selection wise, it looks like Isaac Hayden could be in line, certainly for a place on the bench or a start. Do you think he's been a miss while he's been away?
Aye, definitely. It's not just for his sort of midfielders defensively. He always has those bursts going forward, and they were really, really important when he was playing. So it would be great to see him back. But I don't expect him to start. Or, you know, say if we're... I wouldn't expect Rafa to risk him neither if we are winning by half-time or whatever. I wouldn't expect him to come in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's been a miss. And Bolland, if we look at the number 10 position, because Diome played last game central midfield, Diome had his little purple patch against these three sides. He played really well against... He scored against Wigan, scored against Burton. Two good goals as well, by the way. Kind of underrated goals, I feel, a little bit. No one's really talked about them, but in terms of the strength and power he showed, that's the number 10 that everyone's wanted. And he played really well in Birmingham, against Birmingham as well, the week before that or after that, whichever they were. Do you think that might kind of... Rafa might think back to that, or do you think Perez, who's getting a lot of airtime media-wise this week from the club, do you think Perez might get the nod? Or so tell me what you think you'll do and what would you do?
So I think you'll play Diome, and I would play Diome as well. I think Diome is not the perfect number 10, but we're a much better side when he plays number 10 than when Perez plays. These next two games are crucial. I think we have to get 6 points from them. And I think Rafa will go for Diome. I see Diome and Gale start both of these games, get 6 points.
I mean, I was going to say, do you think you'll bring Gale back in? But obviously, Murphy's injured now. So it's kind of... He's not going to bring Mitro in.
But at some stage, like, he's got to bring Gale back in and give him a few games to build up that momentum. And what better way to do it against two teams in the bottom half at home? Like, if there's any better two games to have, just throw him in and see if he gets a goal. This is it. And especially going into games against Leeds and Sheffield, we need him firing, because a lot of times this season when Newcastle haven't performed well, he's been our get-out-of-jail-free card. So the sooner they can get him back up to the speed he was at before his injury, the better.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a lot of return performances, as it were. You know, Shelby's basically had 3 weeks off, a month off. After the shifts he put in those three away games, he looked dead against Fulham. He didn't play at Birmingham. He's had the 2 weeks off. Like you say, Gale didn't play against Birmingham. He didn't really get going against Fulham. Didn't play against Reading. He's had a lot of time off. So those 2 weeks should be really good for them. Diome, the same, has had 2 weeks to recharge the batteries. And, you know, Jack Colback, if he plays. Grant Hanley didn't play in the Scotland squad, but he's supposed to potentially be fit for this. Are you that fussed, Tom, if Mbemba comes in? Do you think that... Are you that much, you know, are you bothered about who it is, or would you much rather Handy played?
I'd rather Handy played.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Mbemba being out the majority of the season, I know you've done that speech on Instagram or Twitter or whatever it was, saying, oh, I'm going to come back stronger and stuff like that, but I'd rather confidence than... just someone coming in if Mbemba comes in, he's going to try and make his mark, he's going to try and prove something. So I'd rather Hanley just came in.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad shout. And like you say, maybe it's not the game for when there's potentially going to be very fine margins. Maybe that's not Mbemba's type of game, because he is prone to the odd mare.
To be fair though, you'll probably disagree with me now, but I still think Mbemba is our best centre half.
No,
his performances in the Premier League, he was good. Now there seems to be other issues around him, less related to football, that seem to be holding him back. So I wouldn't... if Mbemba starts against Wigan, I wouldn't be worried about it. I don't think... I'd be quite pleased to see him, actually. He's got a good song as well. People love to sing the Mbemba song. There you go.
Yeah, it is a song we haven't heard in a while. I'll give you that. I don't know, yeah, like, I wouldn't be worried because it's Wigan, but I would be a bit like, right, well, I'd be worried about more like him and Lascelles having a good, solid understanding between each other. And you know, when you say Mbemba was dead good in the Premier League, I agree to an extent, but he was the best player in like a car crash of a defence, which was conceding record amounts of goals, particularly away from home. And like, he's a dead good footballer. Like, he's good at loads of different things, but he doesn't excel. Like, no one wins a header against Grant Hanley, but that's pretty much... he's not bad at anything else, but that's pretty much all he's got. Or, you know, he's good at organising, but no one really in terms of a straightforward, like, long ball header. You know, Lascelles is the same to an extent, though he's a little bit more, you know, you'd back Lascelles tackling skills and interception, whereas Mbemba, he's quite fast, he's quite good on the ball, he's all right in the air, he's a decent player in terms of playing the ball out from the back. He's young, so all of those skills might improve, but I'm not going to be... I'll not be singing the Mbemba song as soon as the team sheet comes out and he's not on it in protest. Like, you know, the crack that happens every fucking Saturday now. It's like, I can't believe he's doing this. I can't believe he's playing. I can't believe he's playing. Yeah, and obviously Kieran Clarke's still a miss. I don't know how long he's going to be out for. It looks like, unfortunately, Anita will probably play it right back. That's a real blow. And is it... Tom is... Is it Gouffran and Richie back on their proper wings for you? Because, you know, the last home game you played Atsu and swapped Richie onto the right, which just didn't work. So are you just having Richie back on the... Sorry, Richie to the left. Or are you having Richie back on the right and Gouffran on the left? Or do you bring in Atsu?
I bring Atsu.
Whoa. Big call. For Gouffran.
For Gouffran, aye. Yeah, I'd keep Richie on the right and Atsu on the left. But what I was going to say with the defence, I'd love to see, if Hayden comes in, I'd love to see Paul Dummett just get a day off at St. James and Lazar play. And if we've got someone like Murphy up top, Lazar and Christian Atsu down the left, banging crosses in. I mean, that's what I'd like to see. But yeah, Christian Atsu instead of Gouffran for me.
Bold. Well, Rafa did do that last home game, so you might be proved right. I don't know. I think with this last eight games, you'll stick with the tried and tested.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think. I'm not. Maybe Chef Wed. Apart from that, I don't think Gouffran started any of the home defeats. He didn't play against Blackburn. He didn't play against Huddersfield. He didn't play against Wolves. He didn't play against Fulham. So Gouffran's definitely been that kind of missing link, but you know, in terms of what he actually does, it's harder to pinpoint, certainly from an attacking sense.
Scores a goal, six goals, Gouffran.
just a kind of bit on Wigan. Obviously, we've got the chat coming up with John from Wigan Cosmos later in the show. Dead weird team. Obviously, on 34 points, 8 points behind Burton, Forrest, and someone else who's on that many points. So that's like, is that 8 points? 8 points adrift with 8 games to go. It's not looking good for them at all. But they're a very, very compact team. They don't get beaten by many goals. They've lost to Redden 3-0. That's their heaviest defeat. You want to have a look at like Burton's and Rotherham's and Blackburn's defeats. There's some proper shoo-ins in there.
What was the score when we won?
To Wigan. It's 2-0, mate.
2-0.
Well, our game at Wigan was a dead tight game. They kept us at arm's length quite well, but provided zero attack and threat.
They're an easy team to beat, but a hard team to beat well.
Yeah.
There you go.
An easy team to beat, but a hard team to hammer, I suppose. Yeah. And that's it's interesting for me because obviously that we've got the chart coming up with John, but he said very much that they're going to get back. They've got back to playing the free flowing attacking football under this new lad whose name escapes me. I think that will play into our hands. They're not Fulham, who were very good, but if they want to come to St James's and try and play football and not do the usual press, sit deep, counter attack, that they're going to be in for a, you know, rude awakening. They might get a hammer in. Obviously, I hope so. But I suppose it's like after this game, we're going to have got Ipswich away on Tuesday, who are rubbish, and have got Rotherham at home. And Barnsley at home, we've got nothing to play for. So I'm kind of thinking, well, they've got to go for it, because if they lost, then they'd be fucked. But then Burton have got Huddersfield away, Blackburn have got Brighton away. So if they were to get a point, it would be massive, because they'll probably think they'd be down to 7 points. But it's 7 points with 7 games to go, still way too much. But then, you know, with those 3 games they've got coming up, they might think themselves, well, we'll get out of St James with a point, we've got a chance. So I don't know how they're going to play it, is the very, very, very long way I'm going around of saying this. Like, I really don't know what to expect from Wigan. It'll definitely be a tough one. Tom, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the home crowd and Gallagher flags will be out again pre-game, so get there as early as you can. Thanks again to everyone who came to the quiz. The results of the quiz, in terms of not the answers, but the money raised, we're going to have 2 brand new flags for you for each corner in the Gallagher for Leeds at home. They've been ordered. They're on their way now from Poland. where we'll get them from. Supposedly arriving on Good Friday, so that'll be tight. But yeah, we're going to keep those under wraps until the Leeds game. It's a nice surprise for everybody. But yeah, anyway, Tom, Gallagher flags are back. The ticket sales for, like, this is nearly a sellout. Do you think that maybe it's like, I'm going to put it to you, which one would you rather win if you had to drop points, Wigan or Burton? Would you rather smash this one or win this one and then drop points against Burton, or would you rather drop points here, win against Burton, then go into Sheffield and win? I know I'm playing, this is a very devil's advocate question, but it would just be like Newcastle, wouldn't it, to draw one of these games, as Bolton said.
I'd rather drop points midweek,
right,
mainly for the fact that if we drop points today and we win midweek, it's sort of less of a bounce back.
Yeah.
But if we win today, win Saturday and drop points midweek, it's sort of like, right, we've got to go to Sheffield and, you know, get back to, you know, what we do best sort of thing. So I'd rather drop points midweek.
Good answer to a hard question. Do you think we will drop points, Tommy? Give us your prediction for Wigan.
Wigan, I go 2-0.
2-0 for Dinny Castle. Bolland?
4-0.
4-0 to Wigan. Yeah. Hey, 4-0 to Newcastle. Yeah, I'm gonna go 3. I'll just go in the middle of yours. 3-0. I think we'll give them a. I think 3-0 Gale Hattrick. Really positive that bizarrely Gordon Strachan took Richie, who's way better than every other player in that Scotland squad, bar maybe Snodgrass, and didn't give him a single minute in either game. So he should be well rested. And
not really Scottish though, is he? Just making up the numbers.
Yeah.
He is the most Scottish person ever.
I think that just about does it then. I think we've done our prediction. We've talked through Wigan. We've talked about Newcastle, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. A bit of a shorter one today. We'll be back at 38 minutes, actually. Not that short. We'll be back for you. We'll do one Saturday night after Wigan. Because we'll have Burton on the Tuesday, so it'll be pointless. Wednesday's pointless. Wait until the Monday to do it. And then we will have a Sheffield preview for you next Thursday. So I hope anyone who knows a Sheffield fan puts them in touch who wants to come on. And then we're hoping of getting another local journalist on the Monday after Sheffield. We'll kind of see from there. So Tom and Bolland, thank you very much for your time tonight. Hope everyone's enjoyed the show, and we will speak to you hopefully after Newcastle United's 3-0 win on Saturday.
4-0.
So I'm now joined by John from the junior side, Wigan Cosmos, who very kindly joins us now on the podcast to look ahead at this weekend's fixture. John, it's a pleasure to have you on, and you were just telling me off air there that you've got a very small connection to Newcastle United through something that happened recently or in the past.
Well, yeah, it's delighted to join you, really. We were invited to play at St James's Park when all the trouble went on. I think it was after the Calvert-Manorman tackle, it was the same match. And then from that, loads of Newcastle fans had invaded our pitch, and the Geordie fans were so embarrassed by it, they donated loads of money. And then eventually, the Newcastle United offered us as an apology to play at St James's Park. So as a club, we played at St James's, 1-2-0 there. So that was a lovely gesture by the club. And from there, we've always had a quite close connection with Newcastle United. And the support, which was fantastic by the fans, they did donate to support us, really.
No, I'm pleased to hear that. I'm quite surprised, because that, I don't know whether anyone listening heard about that, but I don't really think it made the media appear, the press. I mean, the club gets a lot of bad press, so it would have been nice to have a good news story for once.
Well, it was in all the local papers, in the national papers. I think I was on BBC Newcastle, everything. So it was the Newcastle Gazette, everything like that. So it was quite a big story up there.
Oh, great.
Because of the social media and everything, it just spread like wildfire. And because of that, where we were inspired by what happened, we've now got our own ground in Wigan, and we're developing the club from bottom up. We've got four pitches on our own ground, which we're developing, and hopefully a junior section and clubs like that moving forward. So that playing at St James assured us that anything was possible, and inspired us to go on and get our own ground, and that's something we're developing as a club as well.
Brilliant. Oh, no, I'm pleased to hear it. So I suppose we'll move on to Wigan Athletic now. You find yourselves in a perilous position in the league table, and I suppose my first question would be kind of what's gone wrong this season, because I think, or maybe has nothing gone wrong? Did Wigan fans expect it to be like this?
Well, we did expect it to be a struggle. We didn't expect it to come up. You look at the teams with the budgets they've got from the Premier League and coming down like Newcastle with massive budgets with the parachute payments, and we couldn't really compete in that level. Our parachute payments have finished. Oh, I think they finished this season, so the money wasn't there. But we did expect to struggle. But we did expect to sort of be above relegation and try and stay up and secure a championship place for next season. I think it was just a cattle of errors, really. We've been playing good football. That's not how we started to play good football under Gary Caldwell. He was let go a little bit too early for me and a lot of Wigan fans, because we were playing good football. We was only losing by the odd goal, but the football was there. We then changed to Warren Joyce, and the sort of football went out the window, saying he was one of the future coaches, one of the best coaches in the country. We stopped playing football and started knocking it long, playing up, trying to play with a big man. He played four defensive midfielders across the midfield with no wingers, just four defensive midfielders, and we were nothing going forwards. So it's no coincidence that we've not scored enough goals, but we have a cracking defensive record. I think we're up there with Reading in the playoffs. We were in the playoffs with a defensive record, but we just can't score enough goals. That's been our biggest problem this season.
I think I was looking at some of the stats for the match preview I wrote today on True Faith, and I was really taken aback by what you've said. First of all, you haven't been hammered this season. I think Reading beat you 3-0, and Reading are one of the best home sides, if not the best home side, in the division. Apart from that, you've hardly lost a game by more than one goal.
It's quite clear where the problem is. Goals against, we've not conceded too many, and it's only been by the odd goal, but with shots, I think we went three or four all matches with only two or three shots on target. So we, as an attacking force, we've just not been at the races, really. We've just not been good enough in the opposition's box or in our build-up play in the final third. I think that's the main issue.
Do you think they were right to get rid of Caldwell? Did you back it at the time?
Well, I thought Caldwell, after what he achieved last season, he should have been given more time to try and turn things around, like I said. And as you said, we've only lost 1-0, we've lost by 8 goals, we haven't been hammered by anyone. So we were unlucky in some matches, and we didn't quite get the final touch in the area. But we weren't being hammered, and you did see it sort of coming together.
Yeah. And what about Joyce when he came in? You've mentioned that was a little bit more negative. Yeah, I was going to say, did you back the decision to get rid of him so close to the end of the season?
Well, yeah, because the football, it was very, very poor. We weren't playing football anymore. We was going from back, trying to knock it forward to a forward playing on his own. He dropped Will Grigg. He was playing a young lad called Bogle, who'd just been brought in. And it was a big, tough task for him to jump up two divisions, I think it was, to play in the Championship and play up front on his own. The ball's knocked into him over the top for him to hold up, and he's not a big target man. He's a player who looks like he wants to run in behind and get in behind defences. So it was asking him to change his game, make a big step up a couple of divisions. So the football sort of went out of the window, and we just sort of hit it long with four defensive midfielders trying to... He was going out not to get beat rather than attempt to win a match. And at 0-0 or at 1-0 when we had to go for it, he never sort of went for it. It was like for like substitutions, he never changed the system. So it was difficult. It's difficult to watch, and it must have been difficult for the players who wanted to play football, because they were all brought in by Gary Caldwell. I mean, we had a great season last year playing good football, attacking football, and that was completely changed when Warren Joyce came in.
And if the unthinkable, not the unthinkable, because it's looking fairly likely, if you were to be relegated, how much of a blow for that is that? Would the club be, or do you think that you would be pretty well set to bounce straight back, having done it once already?
Well, with Graham Barry's come in, and he first game back, he got us playing football, he got the ball on the floor, quick free kicks, and got us back to the way we want to watch our football teams play, of getting it down, and going for it. We lost the last game because we were going, we were trying to get the equaliser, we were pushing on, and that we've been caught again at the back. But at least we came away and we said, we can have no complaints because we've gone out to try and win the game and play it in the right manner. Now, Wigan fans are happy if we go out and play and you attempt to play, and you're going to go down fighting, really, rather than just sitting back and going, well, we just don't want to get beat. You went for it, and you can hold your hands up and say, we've not been good enough, we've not been good enough. But you can't have that as an excuse if you've never gone for it. If you go for it and you get beat, you take that and you accept that. You can't ask no more, really. So, back to your question, if we go down, hopefully with the Yannick Wilshere money, what came in from Norwich, I think it's about $7 million. Hopefully we can keep most of this squad together and get rid of some of the lads who haven't been quite performing, and then bring in a few other younger players to come through from maybe lower league sides, and then try and add them to the core of the squad, and hopefully we can bounce back again. The next appointment, managerial appointment, is pretty crucial for us, really.
Yeah. And why do you think, I mean, obviously you talked about the decision to change managers and the way you've played and not having much in the, you know, in the attacking third of the pitch. Why do you think you're so far adrift at this stage? Because if you look at the teams above you, you know, Burton, Blackburn have had a terrible season, but they're still in touch. Like, why are you cut off so badly at the moment? Do you think it's just simply a case of, like, the problems weren't addressed earlier in the season in terms of goal scoring, or do you think maybe the squad isn't just good enough?
The core of the squad's a very good group of honest players who want to play football. Joyce changed the way we played football and wanted to just go out and defend. The bottom line is we're not scoring enough goals, and we're not good enough in the final third. Losing Wilshere, we got good money for him from Norwich, who paid $7 million, but he was a big attacking threat with pace and power, and he did make a difference. Losing him, Will Grigg's been injured recently, and from the start of the season, he's very much up front on his own and isolated, there's no support to him. So again, he's struggled, he's made a step up in division and had no support. A lot of the time he was isolated, so we never took a chance and got midfielders running forwards, breaking forwards and supporting the forward. And our forward play in the final third has just not been good enough.
Yeah, do you think you've got enough about you to stay up, or is it too late?
Well, with Barry coming in at the last game, it made a massive difference. The performance was there, the play was there, the football was there, but it might just be a case of a little too late. If we can get playing the right football again and fighting again and pushing forwards, then it puts us in good stead for next season. So basically next season starts now, but it might be a little too late for this season now with the running we've got.
Fair enough. And moving on to the game this Saturday, do you give Wigan much chance of getting anything from St James's Park?
You never know with Wigan. It's one you'd never put money on, you'd never back us on the keeping it for or against us. We can come out with a surprise, we can always surprise teams and shock teams. It's again, defensively we're not too bad, but again, Newcastle are one of the teams who have a tremendous attacking play, so it's going to be a massive challenge for us. But there's always the opportunity to see if we can nick a goal, that we can hang on for it and hold on to it. I think if we got a goal, that would give us, this rest of the team, massive confidence to go and play our football. We've not gone in front too many times this season, and we've not scored too many goals, so it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a massive challenge for us to just score a goal and to click in that final third. So it is going to be very, very difficult, and with the quality Newcastle have got, it's an even bigger challenge, really.
Fair enough. Okay, John, thank you very much for joining us on the show, and we wish you all the best for the rest of the season.
Brilliant, thank you, and you too. And I look forward to the match at the weekend.